Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Uncanny Valley Podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us again.
This is Michael Rojas here.
If you're joining us.
We've got, as always, Maclack and Billiam the Destroyer.
Yo!
Episode 3, and leading us in is, ironically, the song Uncanny Valley from Stone Sour.
Off
their album House of Golden Bones Part 2, which I told Billy was a concept album, and that they made a comic book out of it.
Very, very nice.
It's sort of interesting.
Yeah, no.
That was the most passive aggressive, like, yeah, I kind of care.
No. They're good stuff. I don't think they've done anything shitty.
Slipknot.
Sorry.
They've
gotten better.
2/30 of Slipknot.
They've gotten better.
Who, Slipknot?
Yeah.
When? Where was I? I like that one song off that one album.
What's the last one they did? The one that they mashed Justin Bieber with, Psychosocial.
I don't think that was their song.
No, it wasn't.
Their,
no, but I'm
it
saying
was
the
on
one,
their album.
That album. Yeah. I like that mashup though.
So does Corey Taylor, I guess. I think he liked it.
He's like, man, who made that? I need that. I need that in my life right now.
Okay. Side note, tell me this isn't the fucking most stupid name for a tour in all of history. Rob Zombie is touring with Korn.
The Dreadlock Tour.
Yeah, Return of the Dreadlocks is the name of the tour.
Yeah. I kind of want to go to that.
No.
No.
It's going to smell.
No, because I've been wanting to see In This Moment.
Oh. Do they have dreadlocks? I hope not.
No, I don't know. I just,
the female, woman singer's like, yeah. I do. You just can't see them.
She's like, I keep them down below.
Fuck.
They are neatly tucked.
Neatly
spongy.
Tucked. Like my balls.
But yeah, they're In This Moment, it's pretty decent.
Yeah, I used to listen to them.
Yeah.
Their new singer is pretty cool. She's hot. So.
The blonde one?
No, she's got like purple hair. Like black and purple hair.
Probably.
No, the blonde. Oh, wait. Oh, fuck. Now I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Need the access to the shit quicker.
You just got a new router. What the fuck?
Huh? Yeah, but one page at a time, man. In this moment.
Yay. Well, welcome to episode 3. We've made it this far.
What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. That's so sad. I'm sure we have lives.
That's true.
Who's that? Oh, never mind. You know what I'm thinking of? Not In This
You're
Moment.
You're thinking of Arch Enemy.
Nope.
No, the other...
Nightwish. That's what I was thinking of.
No, Arch Enemy got a new singer, too.
Yes, they did. But I'm thinking of Nightwish.
And
Arch Enemy got a black-haired and purple singer.
Wait, hold on. Now, see, now I'm
In This Moment
going,
is Maria
yeah.
Brink.
I'm going down the fucking rabbit hole here. God damn it. We got time, right?
Nobody's listening, right? No, you're talking about, yeah, Arch Enemy. They have a new singer who got Angela or Angelina or
they
whatever.
They have Alyssa White Glues is her new.
Alyssa wears nudes? What?
Alyssa White Glues.
Glutes.
Oh, glutes.
Does she have good glutes?
Yeah, she has good glutes. See, I told you, black and blue hair.
Whatever.
Purple hair?
She got bruised hair.
She looks like a rock Katy Perry, and I'm okay with that.
Rock Katy Perry.
I'm okay
she doesn't
with that.
Have the freaking
Post
eyeballs.
Post-POD music video. Look that up. Nobody knows. Katy Perry was in a POD music video
was
before
she
was famous. Yeah, she sang a song on a POD song.
Wow!
And she was they
she
performed they performed the song on like Jay Leno or David Letterman,
with
and
Katy
she was
Perry?
With Katy Perry. She was in the background doing the hook, the chorus.
Oh
yeah.
Wow!
Yeah,
yeah.
And she did like she like fucking grinded her teeth on the Warped Tour and shit too. So
what?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know if I can enjoy that side of Katy Perry.
Sweaty Katy Perry in a van's just not as appealing.
Yeah. She's like Katy Perry on tour. She's like, it's first class or no ass.
How is that not a name of a comedy? First class or no ass?
Oh, shite. But
so,
anywho.
Well, I came up with this idea with Maclack, but I don't even think I told you. Did you tell him?
Tell me what?
We're thinking.
No, I didn't. For
we're
going to
do a
episode?
Trilogy of R-rated podcasts, specifically dealing with movies revolving around sex and like sexual experiences and stuff.
Kinky.
So, Hellraiser, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Hellraiser.
So, is this one of the R-rated
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when we used the N-word on the previous ones, those were PG-13s.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. Stupid. No, so we were thinking of doing Hellraiser today, because it's a lot of S&M bullshit, and then Alien, a lot of fucking sexual innuinos in
there.
Was there? God, fuck
an
yeah,
alien?
It was. Jesus Christ. Well, yeah. The whole thing is about birth
the
trauma.
The egg.
Just the egg. That's
the egg.
No one, no.
And then Maclack was like, we should do a Nightmare on Elm Street option, and I was like, what about part two?
Yeah, pedophiles.
That was actually the main one I was thinking of because
gay
it
movie.
Feels so left out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know,
movie's
there's,
queer
there's
shit.
No Johnny. John, no Johnny.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's a good thing.
Oh.
He's beating his wife somewhere.
Allegedly. Allegedly beating
I heard she
his
threw
wife.
The phone at her own face.
Why won't you answer me?
Jesus.
Stop
love,
hitting
I,
me.
I love Amber Heard. Like, she's
you're,
like
you're
my
hitting
woman,
you,
too.
You're hitting yourself, love.
She looks like a goddamn psycho after that.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. This isn't TMZ, so...
Not yet. It will
Not
be.
Yet.
Drama
is
sells.
That, is that what we're going for?
Drama sells, bro.
Fuck.
Especially if we put this on YouTube. Drama
yeah.
sells.
It'd be like all the little cut cameras and shit.
Oh, yeah. Fast cuts or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate that. They still do that shit.
Oh, yeah, because that shit sells.
Yeah.
You know, people can't keep their attention for more than like 2 seconds.
Like they say three words and it cuts and then say another like, three words and it cuts.
Box,
cut.
Video, car, hit,
yeah.
ouch, girl, oh, man.
That just looks like a fucking nightmare for a video editor.
And then
though.
They put...
That just looks like a nightmare.
And
it'd actually
they
just be easier for a video editor.
Instead of actually writing a material, you just write four words at a time.
They suck you in with the... With the picture of the girl in the bikini on the front, and then the video has like absolutely nothing to do with the girl in the bikini.
You never
yeah,
see
the
that.
Thumbnails are totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be illegal.
False advertisement. Nobody cares.
Illegal. It's just some like 13-year-old boy talking about like puberty, and it's like some hot bitch in the thumbnail. Not even close.
Definitely.
Not even close. So we're going to discuss Hellraiser today, and keeping up with that sex theme. This is a movie.
Who's sexting?
Stupid. This is a movie that it's pretty fucking, I don't know, there's a lot of subliminal sexual innuendos, and then there's blatant, and there's blatant.
It's pretty out in the open.
And the whole
one.
Idea is very S&M, including
not only
the Cenobites costumes.
Not only S&M, but it also goes into, like, the freaking, you can go into the pedophilia that's in there, you know, the,
mm-hmm.
the niece and uncle, and fucking just the, what is it, yeah, all that incest type crap. But yeah, it gets pretty deep pretty quick.
Falls down that rabbit hole, and by rabbit hole I mean vagina.
Wow, bloody vagina.
So yes, we're going to be discussing 1987's Hellraiser, that was written and directed by Clive Barker.
No way.
Nuh-uh.
Way.
Prove that shit.
Don't believe it.
I don't believe nothing.
So, anyways, here is. Hellraiser.
I have seen the future of horror. His name is Clive Barker.
So that is Hellraiser. So, Maglass, why don't you, Maglass, what the fuck? Jesus, I think I had a stroke.
God damn
it. I just had a stroke
my
right
ass,
now.
My ass.
You
your
left arm?
My ass. Go ahead and, yeah. Let's have your opinion, my ass.
That's my pet name for him. That's my
get
pet
in front
name.
Of the mic for that one.
So yes, give us a quick breakdown or synopsis on this bitch right here.
Synopsis: Clive Barker's Hellraiser, basically the sexual version of Pandora's Box, kind of story. A little more sadomasochistic.
Billy's thinking, yeah, Pandora's Box.
I'm gonna open some of that later.
I wonder what's in there.
Ooh. Didn't they call it Stink Box? Never mind. Ooh. I don't know.
It's a little bit of the box.
Fairly low budget movie. Some people would call Clive Barker a horror master. I've never been a fan of his.
That's like one of those things, though. You go and rewatch movies from back then, and you're just like, yeah, oh man, check out this movie. What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
Stupid. But yeah, this movie actually divides Mac. Like, he's not a fan of it.
Really?
No, no, I've never been a fan of anything Clive Barker, really, anyways.
I was just going to say, I'm not a fan of anything.
Everything
sucks.
Fuck you, too.
Turns out he's a homophobe, that's why. He found out Clive Barker's gay, and he was like, nope.
No. It had some of the good effects for me. It felt like he was trying too hard.
Top-notch 1980s effects.
They definitely take
a lot of practical.
As we discuss and possibly bring up later, the effects really drop off downhill because they ran out of budget and actually weren't being done by an effects crew anymore. They're being done by Barker himself.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
Yeah. But for me, as most Clive Barker things are, it feels like he's trying too hard, going for the shock and awe. On the sexual side of things, a lot of his books have sexual violence in them, people getting genitals smashed and stomped on to alien underage gay sex kind of stuff.
So he's in anime?
Yeah.
He's in hentai.
He's 80s. It's like
homosexual hentai.
The gay version of Geiger, maybe?
Yeah.
I like the guy.
Maybe. I like it. Yeah. Was H.R. Giger gay?
It was H.R. Giger gay?
Gagger?
That was a Freudian slip if I've ever had one.
I don't know the sexual preference of one H.R. Geiger.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah. I will neither
if he
confirm,
is, you have to, you have
I
to start
neither
calling him
Gags 14 wondering if he was deny. Single. No, I didn't actually get into his art till like later in high school. Like the
was it because of Alien?
Probably because he was gay. I don't know.
Billy was totally.
That would be him getting into you
LGBTQ phase for a while.
I was in the hipster era of that. Yeah,
Billy's breaking the mold. He actually turned gay instead of was born.
Wow!
In high school.
He made that choice.
You know, when you think, because Clive Barker originally wrote the book, The Hellbound Heart. That's what this book was based off of. I mean, the female Cenobite, or the main Cenobite was a female, and the whole book was meant to be a very sexual allegory, you know, a social commentary on indulgence and reaching your sexual peak and reaching your limits and then thus finding the box and opening the box to get pleasures and pain.
You open the box.
That you would not
totally
expect.
You do the Hellraiser effect in here.
Well, what was weird, if you think, like, what other movies really kind of discussed pain and pleasure to that extent before
some
Hellraiser? Like, in such
themes.
A fucking serious way.
Well, I mean, yeah, it wasn't, it's not,
it's
well,
overt,
still,
man.
It's still.
It's amazing it got made.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, like, look at people like, take, like, Betty Page. Like, she was into that dominatrix type play, whatnot.
Dominatrix?
Kind of,
sort of.
Yeah,
it's
a little
different
than
what it's doing.
Literally cutting
yourself
for sexual.
Yeah, this is a more extreme version of that, you know. And then it's playing into, you know, even now, like, people are far more into that type of stuff now. Like, body
mutification? Is that what you're
body modification.
Mutification.
Mutilation.
Mutilation.
Genital mutilations. You know, that's a thing. You know, that, I mean, you can go in there and.
It's sanctioned
go
by
down,
God, Billy. Look it up.
You can go down some dark paths on the internet if you type in one wrong word.
BME Pain Olympics?
Whoa. Yeah, we don't.
Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus.
Look it up, people. BME
Pain
Olympics.
All right. Beat me. I got through 5 seconds.
I watched the whole thing, but I almost threw up in my mouth in Two Girls, One Cup. I did.
Really?
Yeah, you shot a video of that. Yeah, although I know now it's fake.
No, but. I know, but it was at the time you were just like, at the time he fucking poop.
He was a true believer.
Yeah. I wanted to believe it was real.
I really wanted someone to eat shit. It just, they do.
I lost
do.
My faith in God. I needed something to turn to.
German Scheiße.
Yeah.
You tell me if you're in a German Scheiße video, right, Mom?
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense that a book, The Hellbound Heart, would go through such extremes because, you know, a written word can do that. I mean, that's been pretty obvious for centuries that it can get pretty dark. But to put it on film and to put it in a horror concept was kind of weird.
There are books that describe, like, from way back when, like in the, you know, what is it, the churchy days, you know, back.
The churchy
days.
You're just making up words, aren't you?
I am. No, like the Inquisition, shit like
is
that.
Is that why they
know?
Left? As some mutilation?
No, I mean, the majority of the torture devices used were sexualized. You know, they were meant to, you know, like, cut your genitals off, like poke you up the butt, shit like that. The hot pokers, you know, and it's.
I was not aware. Billy, tell me more.
No, there's a whole bunch out there.
There's a whole bunch.
Little side note, according to gayorstraight.com, H.R. Geiger.
Again,
H.R. Geiger, they put him off as 60% gay, but 69% gay.
It would be 69.
Would be. 69% is considered you're gay. So he has queer intentions.
Yeah,
I guess
he's got
say.
Maybe he's metro. Yeah. He just always seemed I don't know.
He is very sexual fantasy.
That's
you know.
The thing. Like the homosexual population has such a knack for
a
being much more overt with when it comes to like freeing, you know, being more sexual in there. Because let's face it, straight dudes, especially like Christian guys, they're repressed as all shit. All
right, we're gonna open up with Pinhead.
Yeah.
Drinking a beer, okay?
Listening to some Skinner.
he's waving his pinhead flag, you know. His pinhead. Maybe dragging some chains around, you know, like, because he's got to chain his tires.
Lives matter,
you know, just case. He might have a slave or two behind him, you know. We don't go that far, though. We can't show that on television.
It
would have
been a different movie if Quentin Tarantino directed it.
I'm not that computer savvy.
I like practical. I'm going practical.
Yeah, more explosions. Michael Bay did it. So, I mean, the synopsis is gentleman in search of the furthest reaches of pain and pleasure pays an ungodly amount of money for this Pandora's box, he knows.
What did he pay for it? I don't remember him paying.
It showed a stack of money. It didn't show exactly.
I think he just kind of knew that, like, the...
It's meant to be expensive.
Shut up and take my money.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
What I found interesting, they don't mention in the movie, but it is in the book, that the...
They wrote a book?
Yeah, stupid. It was a book based on the movie.
That.
It was a book. He wrote the novel, came out with the movie, then there was a novelization of the book. Novelization of the movie. So the community that worships the box is known as the Order of the Gash. Do you know what the word gash means?
Cunt.
Why do they call the vagina gash a gash?
Because it's a gash.
Because it's a gash. Specifically. Because it just sounds like a nasty word, and I looked it up. I was like, Urban Dictionary, this guy telling me the order of the gash. What does this mean? It turns out that they called it a gash because a vagina looks like someone takes
if
a hatchet.
Slashed.
Took a hatchet to. I was like, that's the grossest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. And I'm reading this in a book right now.
That's the reason why it bleeds.
That's the reason why I never read the Quran again.
Well,
no, they don't talk about that.
We like gashes here.
Are they French? So, yeah, the order of the gash. But, yeah, so.
So, if they ever had itchy, they'd have a rash in their gash.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, the purpose of the box is you open it if you can solve it. Whoa. And the Cenobites, which are creatures, demons, will take you to hell and
who were
torture you
tortured
for an entire.
Themselves.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of going into the sadomasochist.
Yeah. And going to the movie, they did create a lot of the visual representations of them different from the film, or different from the book. One of the weird things that's a good parallel with sex, especially, is that the female Cenobite has, like, an opening that looks exactly like a vagina right on her neck. Exactly like it.
I'm all for a little throat fucking.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fucking out there. So.
Yeah. And it's pinned wide open.
It's held in the receiving position.
Yeah.
If you took those tools that hold open ribs for surgeries, that's what basically
they call it the calipers. Yeah.
In case you wanted to see.
I remember seeing
it. That's a gash if I haven't seen one before.
Looks like
that's
someone took a hatchet to that body part.
Yeah, we're talking about her throat, people. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah, you sick fucks. So, of course, he gets taken in. He's able to escape them by his brother, who moves into his house, accidentally spills blood in the house, which is just a weird, weird way to bring someone back from the dead. But hey, this is a.
It feels very.
This is fiction we're talking
about.
Well, the
blood
it's kind of contrived.
Loose. They're yeah. basing
it's
it on the
contrived.
Blood of man. You know, it's the rebirth. It's, yeah. it's on top of all the sexualization, there's, you know, it's plagued with
spilled
religious.
It. Initially, it was semen that was supposed to be spilled.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it semen?
Semen that brought him back, not blood.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can only do so much in film.
So somebody dropped a Metallica album and came back to life?
Gross. Yeah. So it was a very contrived thing, but in the film, it brings some of the best visual effects. Like, that creature transformation scene from, like, the heartbeat underneath the basement to the point where it finally gets its brain connected to its stem. Like, that's fucking brilliant.
When they had the budget to use it.
Yeah.
They wasted everything on that, and then
Frank's suit.
There was a lot of reverse shooting, reverse filming. You know, they did...
There was some minor stop motion. Yeah.
That whole scene, the skeleton scene, that was all stop motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one of my favorite... I mean, set aside from, like Pinhead and like, Chatter, you know, Chatter being my favorite, but... One of the coolest things in that movie, as far as like creature wise, is Frank as you know being skinned, like being just the muscle, you know, like that was probably I think they showed it on the Martyr that we saw.
Yes, and it was pretty close.
That was pretty close. But that like think about the time of this was back in the 80s, mm-hmm. Versus a couple of years back. But yeah, those effects, like they got it down pretty good. Very, very good.
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, they did take inspiration from the 1975 fitness model, Mr. Goodbody.
Very lovely, Mr.
Goodbody. So they, I'm sure they did
lovely
take some
Saturday
of
morning pool right there.
He looks like Richard Simmons.
He kind of looks like
Slim Goodbody is his name. Slim Goodbody.
He looks like Martin Short.
Yeah, Martin Short and
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons had
little
a
gay sex baby,
aborted baby.
He came out Inside Out. See, it's wrong, people.
It's an abomination.
That's what happens. Your baby's gonna come out
the
backwards and Inside
actually
Out.
Where that's a famous shot from the movie where Frank is basically skinned, but him smoking. That was like an ad-libbed scene because the actor who played him actually smoked, but it wasn't ever scripted that he was supposed to be smoking in the actual film.
That's kind of a cool
visual. So he was just kind of sitting off set waiting
You're
for stuff to get
set
up.
The shot. Stop smoking.
I bet that costume smells.
You know, he had the line too, like, I can finally taste that. So that must have been ad-lib too. Like, I can finally taste this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was part of the film.
Barker just really liked the look of it once he actually saw him sitting there.
Well, so it was like, oh, you're going to smoke on a phallic symbol.
You know?
Yeah.
You're also a phallic symbol. I got that.
Smoking a pole.
Let's add that.
Sock, whatever.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's had his pleasure. You know, now he's smoking, mm-hmm. you know.
So after Frank's brother, Larry moves into his house. Larry's wife, who had an affair...
Ooh, that the
on
the,
her wedding dress.
The looks the
with
it just looks like it's out of like a 1970s porno the way that she looks.
What, the permed hair and the shoulder pads? No, man, that was pure 1980s, bro.
It was horrible, man.
Late 80s, early 90s. Your mom had shoulder pads, your mom had shoulder pads, my mom had shoulder pads. Everyone's mom had shoulder pads.
Everybody was playing football.
So she had an affair with Frank. For a few days during the wedding time, and she discovers Frank has survived somehow, and he essentially talks her into bringing him more bodies so that she can help him regenerate and survive and get his skin back. Another one of those kind of contrived things that I thought was retarded is that it takes a single couple things of blood to create the entire body and then like five dead people to put the skin on. So that's kind of stupid, but
they got to get it right. You know?
Yeah.
And he never really got
a lot of
skin
good death
until,
scenes,
until they got, what's his name? father.
The dad, yeah.
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 He, like, that was his final form, if you wish.
So, I mean, the thing that was cool is she had to bring a lot of these men. She sexually seduced a lot of these random men back to the house. Yeah,
she was a whore.
For the specific purpose of killing them.
Dirty whore.
Frank.
With a hammer.
Yeah, the hammer. Yeah, the hammer kills were awesome.
Hammer smash fairies.
And thus Cannibal Corpse was born.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, the character Julia was kind of popular. It wasn't expected to be like a main character, but she kind of grew in like a fan favorite. She was a trippy bitch, man. Trippy bitch.
Very much so.
So, yeah, the purpose of Larry's daughter, who's having issues of her own, essentially discovers Frank living there. And decides to take the box in a fit of rage as she gets into a fight with him and throws the box, decides to take off with it. And she, dummingly, that's a word that Billy made up.
Dummingly?
decides to open it, and of course the Cenobites come for her thinking that she's the one who did
now
it
one
on
thing,
purpose.
Time after time after time after sequel after sequel, how do they all know how to open the fucking box? Oh. Is it, like, everyone's just like, oh, look, circle, rub.
Such as sex, Billy. So. Circle, rub.
They simplified it so much.
So
like,
easy to open.
It's so easy to open, essentially, Pandora's box, you know?
Yeah, if the movie wasn't sexual enough, the scene when Christy actually opens the box, there's a lot of sexual imagery. Like, the TV turns on and you see flowers blooming.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section in her IV where a piece of blood goes and it kind of bursts and it looks like a flower, which, ironically, the stained glass windows in the house have that exact same design. So it was like foreshadowing for later in the film. So I thought that was cool, a lot of sexual awakening at that point, because she's pretty innocent. She's made to be innocent in this whole situation. So, and she's doing this on accident. And so essentially she tells the Cenobites, hey, if I can lead you to Frank, you'll leave me alone. And that's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good shit. Only after she gets fucking fingers stuck in her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Like a dick.
It's like, oh, you like that, don't you? Yeah. Don't you? You like it when I put my fingers there, don't you?
I guess I was reading just now, it said that when he did that, because he couldn't see.
Poked her in the eye a couple times.
No, his fingernail, he actually scraped some of her roof of her mouth off.
Oh, shit.
During that shot.
Yeah, but he was rubberized.
No, like, only one of them was.
Yeah.
It was only the one finger?
Only one finger was. Yeah. So the Chatter, one of the Cenobites, goes and puts his middle finger in. What the fuck is the other finger?
Ring
index.
Finger.
Index? What the fuck is that? Ring finger or the middle finger?
Yeah.
He did the Sufi.
He fish hooked her.
He Sufi'd her.
He fished her.
He fish hooked her, yeah, right in her mouth, which you could have done anything. He could have, you know, just put his mouth over his hand over his mouth, shut her up, choked her.
No, he's like, nope. I'm going all the way in.
You're getting the dick and getting your top of your roof taken off, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And definitely some inspiration, you know, I mean, obviously for the sequels.
For your personal
and then,
sex life?
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Hey, Tanner, you want to try something? I got this finger glove. I cut my nails.
No, the weird upside-down weedle monster thing, whatever the fuck that was.
Weeble?
The Weeble, whatever.
That fucking thing was pretty cool.
That reminded me of the scene in The Mouth of Madness.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Piranhas 2.
Well, that too, yeah.
It did look like a piranha mouth. James Cameron directed Piranha 2.
I could totally do the sound for that. No, I got my amp in the other room. What is that? Was that a snork?
It's a snork.
we totally got
like a racial slur.
That's the age demographic here.
Snork.
You know, Mike didn't get to watch the Snorks growing up.
No. I referenced Slim Goodbody, though, so I win.
Yeah, that's back there.
Goddamn obscure.
But yeah, I mean, like, his visuals and everything, like, play into his other movies, like, that's just how he is. Meat Train? Was that
Midnight
Meat Train?
Yeah. Clive Barker's always been a surrealist in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, his creature design, his writings especially, even his children's books. The Aberrat series has a lot of really, really cool creature designs. I mean, I like Clive Barker's writings a lot, especially when he's not discussing the whole sexual themes like the Scarlet Gospels and whatnot, but his children's books, what's not really.
It's like the Abra. It was all about anal. You just didn't see it.
Social commentary on people's fascination with anal. That's gross.
Yeah.
But he's always had good creature designs. He's kind of been up there with like Geiger, as you call
Geiger.
H.R. Geiger.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I will say this about Clive Barker, because I've had the luxury of meeting like a lot of my quote-unquote heroes, people that I look up to. And normally, as they say, it's completely true that your heroes always let you down when you meet them, because they're like not that cool. Like, I've met Tony Iommi, I've met Charles Band.
Did they all let you down?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Every single
one. Every goddamn one of them, dude. Every fucking one. Really? Clive Barker looked me dead in the eyes. I gave him a picture of Christopher Carrion for an
hour. Do you like anal?
Say, hey, you were fucked. No, he looked me in the eyes and he was just like, he looked so incredibly appreciative. And he said, thank you so much for being a fan. Like, and he looked, he was like, I love this creation. Like, I'm so glad that you brought this to me. He was like, let me put it out to you. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. He was like, he shook my hand and grabbed it. He
did the old man handshake.
His hand was moist.
Yeah.
So like, you have really sweaty palms.
It was sticky. And he just like, he was so incredibly appreciative. And you get the feeling he did that with everybody. I even met Lloyd Kaufman.
On the picture where it says, call me after the...
Yeah, I rubbed off on ink on my hand. Yeah.
It's like, shit, I wiped off his number.
Did I tell you the time I met Lloyd Kaufman?
No, but I saw the poster. You know, the one with the.
You know who Lloyd Kaufman is?
Yes.
The old fucking guy who still wears a bow tie. I met him at a convention and he was surrounded by a bunch of bodyguards.
I just find him to be very weird.
He is. But like, he's funny as shit.
Yeah,
he reminds me of
like Mel Brooks.
He reminds me of a horror Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely horror. And they're both Jewish, so of course. I went up to him and he was like surrounded by security guards and I was
who are
like,
just crazed fans.
Yeah, and I looked like directly at him and I was like, "Hey, Lloyd Kaufman, nice to meet you." He was like, "Hey, good seeing you again," and walked away. I didn't know how to take that.
Oh, that's great!
I literally said the words, "Hey, nice to meet you," and then that I came back with that. And I was just like, "Okay,"
but see. That wasn't Dick. That was just like
either. Totally him. It was totally him.
You were just like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
He'll never remember that, but I will remember that the rest of my life.
Yeah, versus someone who, like, you've met a lot of people over your time. Corey? Didn't you meet Corey Feldman?
Yeah. No, Corey Haim.
Was it Corey Haim?
Corey Haim.
Okay.
The dead one.
You're dead to me in life and in my mind.
He was a dick. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, from that story, you know,
fuck you, you're in License to Drive. You don't have to be a dick.
The arrogance on there, it's like, you were in the cutscene for fucking Lost Boys.
Lost Boys 3, was it? Or was it
something
22?
Like that. It's like, you weren't even good enough to be in the fucking third sequel.
The end sequence, the end credit sequence of the third or the second sequel of Lost Boys. They cut you out of that.
And sorry, Corey Feldman, if you ever hear this and you're offended. Whatever.
Yeah, you'll just sleep with another model tonight. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
God.
You can handle it, Donatello.
Excellent!
Reaganomics!
Oh.
Robot chicken's hilarious. Yeah, so at least the creation of the Cenobites, the movie was meant to be a very serious film. It wasn't meant to be a monster film.
Oh, well, all the horror movies were intentionally made to be... Like
that was strictly that was the reason that I think that was the main reason they got that film made is because Clive Barker wanted to make his film, which was very much a human story. It wasn't about demons; they were a secondary thing. But they saw the creation of Pinhead.
Tits
they knew
and
it was
gore.
The '80s. It was slasher films galore. So they had all the fucking
But
they had
that
the
wasn't a slasher film.
Like, but still, it was the monsters. 3 years after Freddy. It was 7 years after Jason. You know, it was 10 years after Michael Myers. The 80s had all the slasher films and all the monsters. They all had to have a face. So they see Pinhead. They're like, we're going to push him, make him the focal point of it, and we're going to go from there. And that's kind of, I think, how they got it made.
Even still, like, I mean, again, with all the sequels, even the first Hellraiser, I mean, you barely saw a Pinhead.
Yeah, he was in it. You know. 8 minutes? 5 minutes? Something like that?
Yeah, very short. Yeah.
But, I mean... He's thrown out some of the most memorable freaking taglines out of like almost all the horror movies you can think of.
I've liked that,
especially Halloween.
He's remained somewhat philosophical, like especially Michael Myers. Like, if you ever saw a meme, like a quote from Michael Myers, it's just dot, 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 dash Michael Myers.
It's like, when someone comes at you, stupid. Yeah.
Billy, you're not supposed to do faces on radio. No one can see it.
I was going for the silence. The face was just added. Jesus. But anyway, yeah, the quotes from that movie, I mean, they're just like being, you know, one being memorable, and two, I mean, they're very powerful quotes too, you know. You know, the final one, the final quote that was in the original Hellraiser, Jesus wept.
Yeah.
You know, that was like,
another ad lib.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be fuck off.
But fuck off coming from, you know, Pinhead, you know, that's...
It was Frank that said it.
Oh, was yeah, it? No, oh, yeah, yeah. When he was getting torn in the face.
Daddy.
Yeah. But, yeah, the, I mean, just those, I mean, those quotes.
Your pain will be legendary even in hell. Like,
yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah, the no tears, you know, it's a waste of good suffering.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that was written there.
Awesome stuff. Awesome writing. You know, even if most of it was, you know, if they ad libbed. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's. I don't know why you didn't care for it. You know, it's one of those that stick back.
I think she tried too hard.
Did you go in with just too high of expectations?
No,
I'd
seen it years and years ago, and then I'd even before that. I had seen it as a kid, and it's what's weird, and I don't know if it's just a preconception.
Parents are evil.
Just a preconception.
Like, we're going out tonight. Hellraiser's on.
I remember.
I was one, Mom. I was 1 year old.
Well, side note, I was 6 or 7, and we watched Stephen King's It before going to the circus, like literally immediately after the movie. So
that's
we're gonna prepare you for
that's
clowns.
Cruel. Ringling, Barnum, and Bailey's, but before that, here's Pennywise. That's cool.
Pinhead is the earliest monster, if you want to say, memory that I have, because I remember seeing, and I don't remember where it was back when, like, there was Mr. Videos, and, like,
video
before
stores.
Hollywood, yeah, just really, like, mom and pop owned video stores.
Yeah.
Video Village up here.
Yeah, stuff like that. I remember seeing that in the store, and that image.
He was the box art of the first one.
Yeah, that image. But,
yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
stuck in my head.
Yeah.
He sold Hellraiser.
I think him and Chucky were like the primary monsters for me that like I saw.
I don't know how many
theaters,
times I would go
stores.
In veg in the movie theaters. Just
veg in the movie theaters.
Oh, veg.
Veg.
Okay. He gashed.
I got you. I gashed. I found the gash in the movie stores.
No.
You were
Jesus
behind the curtain.
Billy.
You were behind the curtain, weren't you? You remember Behind the Curtains? Do you guys
yeah,
remember?
I remember
is that too
the
young
movie theaters
for you?
Having that.
Huh?
I remember the movie rental places having the red curtain.
Yeah, the back room. That's.
I'd only been to one place that had that Video Liquidators.
This is some
and I never went
Blockbuster.
Back there. Yeah. It just always smelled like seafood.
And that was the children's section.
Oh, no. This isn't a Christian video store we're talking about.
That's the Christian bookstores.
Kirk Cameron bought
it's
them
only,
all.
Only a children's section?
So yes, I'd like the adult contemporary. You mean children's section?
Yeah, whatever.
it's all the same, right?
What are the kids calling them these days?
Oh, but yeah, now you go in there and you know you see all the freaking cool horror movies, and it's funny because a lot of them are they never match the title, you know, or the box cover.
There was always this cool fucking thing that you came up with it, I think. I'm sure it's been around forever. The cooler the box art, the shittier the film.
This
and
is
that's
true.
So true
this
for
true.
Like B
yeah,
movies. Like
yeah,
they spend more money on the artwork and whatever on the box covers. So that's what made
going to
the video store so iffy.
We'll definitely go into that on another episode because I definitely want to go into like B movie, like you know just the different.
I say the rise and fall of B movies, like.
Well, they're still going. I mean, you have there's a ton.
It's not the same.
No, but there's a shit of like.
No, but there's been a lot of
independent movie makers now. Like,
there's resurgence of people. That was kind of the whole point of the B movie being created is that I feel I can make a movie and I should be able to try to make one or to make one, whether I have this million or multi-million dollar budget.
Yeah.
And now you can make it with your iPhone.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, a good thing. I mean, giving people more options or the opportunities, not that we're going to get
cheaper
stellar products, but getting exposed to more ideas is going to help you get with a good your story, own ideas.
And it gets enough buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have stuff a freaking major picture after.
Anything can grow into other stuff. It's not movie-related, but it's a really good success story. One of the guys, there was two friends, they actually made a mod for, like, Battlefield 1942, the old computer game, to make it into Star Wars.
The Nazis win.
What? They, too soon.
They made everything, well, whatever. Man in the High Castle. They
Magler just put his hand straight up in the air. They, like, whatever, Laura Ingraham over
fuck
here.
Fuck they then opinion. got hired to actually make the official game following off of that.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I still maybe I'm more pessimistic. I don't see it as much as like in the 80s when home video first came out. You know, with Empire and Full Moon and stuff like that. I mean, the thing I see is like the resurgence of
Hammer films. You know, like
that was one of the earliest examples.
That was a huge market for that.
Yeah,
and it was totally underground.
Right.
You know, they had the whole Dark Shadows series. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you like. I could look at it now, the resurgence of like independent stories that have kind of become more and more popular is the creepypastas, like short stories that literally teenagers are making, like Slender Man.
Yeah,
you know that's become
and
like
some
a phenomenon.
Of them are fucking terrifying. You know?
And it's like, there's some scary stories. I mean, they're coming into movies and TV shows and shit.
Yeah,
you know, making short films. That Lights Out movie that just came out was about that short film.
Fuck that
was
movie.
Two
I can't even.
Long.
I can't even watch the preview of that. Yeah. I was like, man, I gotta go down my hallway. Click.
God damn it, girl,
I'm only gonna watch it.
I wouldn't even
12
be mad
in the afternoon.
Say hello.
Just that scary face at the end. Like,
yeah. No, I saw this other one where it was like there was this little girl where she was afraid of the thing in the closet. Like, she was hearing a thump in the closet. And, like, every time it would kind of pan to the little girl and you'd pan to the closet and the thump and whatnot. Mom came in to check in on her, and then it pans back over there, and, like, the girl's, like, looking in under the bed.
Yeah.
And then, like, it pans over, and the fucking thing is, like, right there next to her, like, looking with her.
Yeah.
It was like, look, I got fucking goosebumps just talking about that.
Like, mommy, there's something under my bed. And it's like, no, there's nothing under your bed. Mom goes under, she sees her daughter.
Yeah,
like, mom, there's someone in my bed.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, see, like shit like that. It's it's great imaginations are being.
Yeah,
you know,
I just
born.
Wish I want to see distribution of that shit a lot more. So I mean, we can go into that if we do an episode like
definitely. Yeah, sure. I definitely want to. We can go in from the beginning of that till what it's become now. You know, but
you can look at like even before Hammer, like Night of the Living Dead was an independent film that somehow made it.
If you had a few investors, you know, that are willing to just, you know, all you had to do was have some rich old white guy say, yeah, I'll put it out.
Yeah. I'll give you 20 grand.
Yeah. Here you go.
Put some cigarettes
we're gonna,
in there.
We're going to release it in France, in some weird little German area of France.
Yeah. Ideally an episode direct, like dedicated to Roger Corman would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
That guy's still kicking.
Making
off
making
of that
shit.
Side note,
yeah, kind of went a little tangent
a little
down there.
Aside.
Yeah,
yes,
but it's always. I mean, everything that we've discussed up until now from the previous episodes, they all tie in. You know, there's so we can't really go off too far without, you know, coming back full circle on it. So
true,
oh, absolutely.
Any last words on Hellraiser or sex or gashes?
Judas Priest, Hellraiser.
Don't take your
was
girlfriend
that a gay joke. That was
don't
a gay
go
joke,
wash it if you're expecting to get some gash later that night.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wash your gash. Wash your gash.
Yeah. Amanda was like, "What is this?
No one's getting laid after watching like, Hellraiser."
I don't know, man. There's some people. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's pages and pages on Facebook dedicated to that.
Yeah.
You
some
know.
People like that shit. Some people like. Yeah. Hence the movie. That's I mean.
Yeah.
People
some,
like
somebody liked
pain.
It.
Yeah.
People like fucking furries. They're gonna like. sadomasochism.
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl.
Just pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a goddamn thing.
That is a goddamn thing. But
so
yeah, it looks like we got some stuff.
We
coming
have
up
something
here.
Fun planned. So last podcast.
On the
sucked.
Left. What? No.
I unfortunately rolled the bad number, which resulted in me having to do a quick movie review after eating a habanero pepper.
Habanero pepper.
Habanero
which,
pepper.
Which got, what, almost 150 views from last time I saw.
Yeah.
So, good job, people. Somebody's leaving.
Thanks
leaving
for
bitches.
Watching.
Somebody is watching us.
Thanks for eye-fucking our audio.
I cannot find me die. I don't know where it went.
The only one that you have.
Where's your son?
Since you have a whole box of die.
Well, I have different ones, but I needed the four.
Did he ever bring it?
I was playing with it right here.
He was talking about not stepping on it.
Oh. So this time around, we're not going to eat anything, except for gash later.
Oh, here,
you found the gash.
I found the gash. The gash was on floor.
Yeah, we're going to do a little Mad Libs thing today. And the individual who rolls the number has to come up with all of the Mad Libs. And then we'll recite it back to them while they have a mouthful of water. Hopefully they don't spew it everywhere. So
if you get it again, you're going to obviously relocate so you don't spit all over the fucking equipment.
I will.
Yeah, don't spit
I'll
on
think
the,
about it.
The electronics.
I'll think about it.
I know
it's
Billy's laptop, so... You don't really care that much, but it's just a Toshiba. But
you need to update it, bruh.
Yeah, serious. That's the oldie.
It's the second generation Intel. Keep up with the times.
Since I rolled the dice last time, you know, does anyone else want to?
Do we want to set up like a rule of whoever had to do the thing rolls the dice for the next one? Or do you want to just?
Yeah, that makes sense. Whoever the loser is has to roll the dice.
More of a loser than me.
So, like last time, I'm number one, Maclex two, Billy's three.
And then four.
Four.
If we do four, we'll just
run
it again.
Re-roll it.
Yeah, re-roll
it. Tell you what.
Make Ben do it.
Tell you what. If we roll four, I get to choose.
What the
hell? Because I lost last.
What kind of shit is that?
Making up rules.
Making up rules.
Hey, wait. How does this work? Hold on.
Just roll it.
Oh, I see.
They're all on top.
It's a pyramid.
It's a pyramid.
It's part of the box.
It's whatever the point
is. It's the other shape of the box.
Selection.
All right. Motherfuckers, ready?
That goddamn easily solved puzzle box.
What? Yeah, so... Let's do this. Give me a drum roll.
Ha! What the hell?
It was one.
Well, Mike. Looks like Mike got the shit end of the
stage. Good job loading that die.
Right? What an ass. All right, who wants to write down my answers?
I loved when Mike picked up the dice.
He picked it up and
he was like, "Whoa, what number is this?"
No, I was one of those like, it was a confused. This can't be happening again.
How it works?
All right, so.
All right, let me go get a glass of water.
Well, don't you just fill this out, or how do I?
So we fill it out, but you read it.
You go through there, and every time you see that, you're like...
This wasn't pre-discussed.
Noun. Verb. So I give you my answer. You write it down.
Okay, till the very
end.
Then
at the very end, then, after it's all filled out...
Then we read
You
it.
Recite it to me.
All right.
Yes.
But
here,
go
get me a glass of water real quick.
You already know the story.
I don't. I was writing. I wasn't reading it.
Oh, Jesus.
I was not paying attention
the slide. While Maclack goes and gets the water there, we'll go ahead and start this out. Okay, so... Go ahead and start off with a noun.
Why are you laughing?
I got your water.
Is that mineral water?
Oh no.
That's magnesium. What an ass.
No. This water tastes funny. Three hours later, I can't stop shitting! Fuck!
My asshole looks like a gash.
Oh. There's shit coming out of your gash.
There's shit everywhere.
Oh. That could be a challenge at another time, but it could be a pre-challenge show.
Wait,
everybody,
hold on. What?
Everybody has to do it.
Do
and
what?
And then see how
and
long.
The
and
podcast?
Then we try to do the podcast while we're trying to hold it. And the first one to. The first
That's
one.
So
no, no, no. The
Thank
first,
you.
The
Thank
first
you.
One. Okay, look here. This is pre-discussion here. All right, so everybody takes a quarter of a bottle, okay? And then you have to get through. It usually kicks in, so we'll do it pre-show. And it usually kicks in about anywhere from an hour to up to like
it's
2 hours or so.
It's got to be pre-show.
Okay, so we'll do the show like maybe after 2 hours. And then during the show, whoever has to get up to the bathroom first has to drink the rest of the bottle.
That's not fair because I have intestinal issues. I shit constantly.
Mike's just fucked from the
beginning. I'm screwed. Anyway.
He's going to smell it and just be done.
Man.
And you only have two bathrooms, so someone's going to get stuck shitting in the sink or the yard.
Oh, no, it's one bathroom. So, I mean, the other people are going to be like, fuck, man, hurry up. And then you got to shit after you've already shit in the bathroom. So somebody's got to go in there after you.
Oh,
so,
God.
What is this?
disgusting.
What is this?
It's terrifying.
What am I missing?
It's disgusting.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah. When he starts rolling around. All right, so back at it. Back at it again with those white bands. Come on.
Back at it again with those white bands?
Yes. All right, so starting this out here, let's go with get a noun.
Billy.
Noun.
I knew that was coming.
Sure. See, he knows the story.
I don't. I'm telling you, I don't.
Let's go ahead and get another noun.
A puffin.
A puffin?
A puffin.
Is that part of the gash?
You don't know what a puffin is?
It's the bird,
the
right?
Fluffy part around the gash?
It's a flightless bird, Billy.
Yeah, it's like a... It's like a fucking... What are those ones?
Like a penguin?
Like a penguin, yes. Yeah. Like a penguin.
I was like, just moving your hands is not going to make me visualize like what it is. Things. It's not going to help me understand what it is.
I was
better.
Trying to create one out of the air. I was like, yeah.
The not air sculpting.
Pin. All right, so let's go ahead and get another noun.
Another noun? Mall.
Mall?
Mall. All
right. One more noun.
Penis.
Another noun.
Baby's arm.
Verb.
Munch.
Another noun.
Oh, another noun?
Another noun.
Door.
We got a lot of nouns here. All right. So, let's go ahead and go into another noun.
Sinkhole.
Oh, another noun.
Egg McMuffin.
Wow. This is going to be interesting.
Sinkhole, that's like an inch and a half away from a gash, right?
A sinkhole is...
That's a double entendre.
A sinkhole is between the gash. All right, let's go with a verb.
Gashing.
Why do I know how to spell gashing?
Gashing through this.
It's just
I'm
Santa,
putting that on
Santa
a fucking
Claus
sweatshirt
a
tonight.
Yes. Santa Claus with
best
a hatchet.
Ugly Christmas sweater.
Gashing. All right, let's go with another verb.
I was picturing that scene from Patch Adams.
Which scene?
Where he goes into the hospital doors that he made.
Why do I not remember that movie? Oh, the Robin Williams movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Patch Adams. I was thinking it was like an actual like a porn. It's like, all right, okay. I think I've seen this.
Okay. I think I've seen this. All right.
Wait, what am I doing? What
verb.
Is it? Oh,
verb.
A verb.
Well, a verb, verb.
Oh, well, a verb, 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 verb. Running.
Running. Hey, with running. It's an adjective.
Bloody.
Bloody gash. Another verb.
Diarrhea-ing.
That's with an H, right?
Look it up, Billy.
Diarrhea-ing.
You gotta get the ing in there, man.
All right. Noun.
Chode.
Don't look at me like that.
Verb.
Puffing. Not puffing, but puffing.
Two sides.
It's
almost done.
Adjective.
Sweetly.
Another adjective.
Disturbingly.
All right. We are done.
Oh, God. All right.
It is completed.
Back you want
me to read it?
Do I'll the honors.
It. Hold on, hold on. I'm gonna take my microphone off here and get away from the computer here.
You should sit in the chair over here.
That's good.
You don't want to stand in projectile range for this.
Yeah, you've seen The Exorcist, right?
He's got to listen to this.
Only instead of pea soup, it's bad breath.
Instead of water, I use
it's acidic
magnesium.
Bad breath. No, I cannot.
Are you going to sit with the mic so you can hear the gurgles?
What?
The gurgles.
So you can hear
gash?
You struggle with it in the mouth.
That's a condenser mic. You can kind of put it next to your head.
Yeah. Ah. It's not a condenser mic, but I'll do something. Oh, hey, a towel. All right. Yeah. Let me see this. Get this.
A little coverage.
Can you do it over there?
Hold on. Where do you want me to? Because there's paper everywhere.
I know. I was going to say, come sit in this chair over here.
Oh, for fuck's sake. All right.
Here, give me your mic.
Mike hands the mic
to
Billiam. And then Billy dropped it and broke everything.
That should be enough. That's fine.
That is play.
Pew! A long fucking segment, Mike.
So much setup that we didn't do in advance.
And why am I sitting in front of you?
You're in the target range.
Don't be a little bitch, Billy.
Stay on target.
All right. Knocking shit right. Over here.
Yeah, fuck. Careful. Here, where are you going?
I'm
just sit down. I'm not going to fucking go right at you.
I can't even see the fucking reaction.
I'll move. Yes.
Good God.
Can you videotape this or something?
Did you want to videotape it?
Yeah.
Film it.
All right.
He filmed his other suffering.
Yeah.
Did we look and see how many views those got?
It was about 150.
So a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's all.
People more interested in the suffering,
yeah.
The visual suffering of Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, the suffering. The sweet suffering of Mike. Hold on. I hope I have enough.
Are you going to run out of?
I might.
I'm sure I have
more
space.
Yeah, let me use yours.
Shit.
You can upload it.
Delete your sex videos, for fuck's sake.
I like them.
They're just masturbation videos.
They're just audio.
Just you.
Fappy. I play Fappy Bird.
You gotta flick it instead of tap it.
You gotta flip the gash.
Swipe it. Oh, no.
All
right. Okay, Billy,
and
don't move. Don't
begin.
Move your legs.
Mike Rojas.
Don't move your legs because you're gonna fucking kick the.
Spray
kick
on.
The cord.
I'll try not to.
Jesus criminy. Anyway,
okay, hold on.
All right,
that is my phone, not Billy's phone.
Yeah. All right, and Maclock is gonna read this to me. So hold on.
Can you hold your breath?
Breathe through your nose, like when you're sucking dick.
Swallowed. Mm. He swallowed.
He's a trooper.
Okay, hold on.
They're always such troopers when they swallow.
Yeah. He did his due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of Billy and Puffin. I sat straight up and pulled the covers tight. I looked out the window and saw a mall. I screamed so loudly that my penis ran into the room. We both decided to grab the baby's arm and peek out the window. Suddenly, we saw a witch munch by on a crazy door. We put on our shoes and ran out to the backyard. This time, we heard a sinkhole and saw an Egg McMuffin. The thunder cracked loudly and lightning lit up the sky. My voice gashing, and I called out, "Who's there?" Nobody answered.
Hold on.
Reloading.
Oh, man, that was a projectile.
I called out, "Who's there?" Nobody answered. And then I saw a shadow running behind the bushes. Then all at once, a million bloody bats flew out from behind the bushes and trees and began to diarrheaing. We grabbed our chode and puffing back into the house. We crawled back under the sweetly covers and lay very disturbingly. We waited and waited. Nothing happened. Maybe it was all just a scary dream, I thought. What a crazy Halloween night.
I've had worse.
The fin.
Oh,
Jesus criminy.
I think I swallowed some of my snot.
All right.
Well,
so
this has been the Uncanny Valley.
challenge
podcast.
I've been Macleck.
This is Mike.
And Billy. Billiam. Whatever.
I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening. If you are, the video will be posted later, so at least watch that and say something. I don't know. Give us some feedback.
Or say hi.
Don't forget to like and share.
And subscribe. Oh,
there's no subscribe.
We can't do that yet. We're working on that. Yet.
Oh, you can subscribe on Facebook.
Eventually, subscribe to the page at least. And eventually, we will have it up on iTunes and other media sources. So check it out. Tell your friends. If you like it, give us a like. And all that other nonsense.
Take it easy.
Okay. You better tighten it. Take it easy.
What the fuck do you want me to say?
Take it easy.
My voice was gashing.
None of this cat and mouse bullshit.
There you go.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.